The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Lots to get to on today's program. As you might expect, quite a few things to think about, I think, as we consider the dramatic events from yesterday in Washington, D.C. I'll get to that, of course, in a little bit. But just first, first thing I think to keep in mind is that we're just a couple of weeks away from the inauguration, and just judging by the twists and turns already this year, I was thinking this morning about how we've supposedly left behind the chaos of 2020. Thankfully, that year is behind us, and here we are. What is it? January the 7th. We're just 7 days into this calendar year. And look at what we've already seen. Look at what we've already experienced. One thing to think on as you consider the events of yesterday, what is it that Satan, our adversary, hates the most? He hates being exposed. And we've talked a lot about this in God's church over the years, certainly all throughout the court case over Mystery of the Ages, the fight for Mystery of the Ages. There was this effort by the opponent to prevent the truth from going forward, to prevent the truth from going out to the world. And think about the lead up to yesterday, the electoral count day, the president having his speech just outside of the White House, and what was to happen or what was to transpire in Congress through that day, as at least three of those states were to be contested or objected to and debated over in Congress before, of course, the events of the protest overtook all of that. Satan hates being exposed. He doesn't want the truth to see the light of day. This is from our Habakkuk booklet. It talks a little bit here about Mystery of the Ages, our fight for Mystery of the Ages. It says here, chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages addresses angels and evil spirits. This book exposes Satan as no book on earth. The devil hates and fears exposure most of all. He's in a fitful rage and is trying to destroy Mystery of the Ages. And some of you know about all that history. That little footnote at the end of Transformed by Truth. We feel it's our Christian duty to keep this book out of print. There was a spirit behind that. They wanted to cast the truth to the ground, to bury the truth, to destroy the truth, as I said yesterday, to blot out the truth. It says, Satan knows that if he can destroy Mr. Armstrong's writings, God's message cannot reach the world. Spreading that message is the very reason why we are called now. And you can add to that, Satan knows. He knows that this would represent a huge feather in his cap if he could blot out the name of Israel. He knows this. It says, through Habakkuk, God is telling us not to be discouraged because he is going to revive his work before our eyes. And it will be in the context of the court case. So there's some history that many of us were involved in, that we lived through, and there were some definite low points. And God said to us, don't be discouraged. God's going to fulfill his will. God's going to do his work. And you think about what is uppermost in God's mind at this very moment. It's what's happening in his work. This is the most important activity on earth today. The work of God, the message of God as it goes out to this world. Here's a quote from Daniel Unlocks Revelation. It says, "Whenever God shows me a deeper understanding," this is my father writing, "a deeper understanding of scriptures like these, it's so inspiring, but Satan hates it." Satan hates it. So he gives deeper understanding to his servant. And then Satan, you can read in the book of Daniel, you can read elsewhere too, but the book of Daniel, there's this massive spiritual war going on over revelation from God. It says here, Satan hates it. As I was studying this subject and getting it into my mind, I could tell I was being bombarded by negative thoughts. I know where those thoughts were coming from. I know how Satan hates this. We must understand the war we're in. This is a theme he picked up on at the recent ministerial conference. There's so many people today that don't realize they're in a war. You thought the pressure to surrender and compromise was strong before yesterday? Well, now look. Now look at how many Republicans. There's just the one left. Not even the Vice President of the United States is standing strong in the president's camp. Nobody is. Maybe his family. Maybe that's about it. Standing alone. He says, we must understand the war we're in. We can only battle something like this on our knees. If you get into a bad attitude, Satan will influence your thoughts. Satan, it says, is in the rage of all rages as we expose him to the world. You see, he doesn't want to be exposed. He wants to be seen as an angel of light. Think about over the past year, how many times... I can think of three right offhand in the middle of March when it seemed like the whole world was in agreement. This is a disease that's going to kill us all if we don't lock down. It seemed everybody just was right on board with that. And then following the election, November 3rd, the big announcement, Saturday, November 7th, Joe Biden, president-elect of the United States, and everybody's on board with it. And then now, yesterday, everyone, it seems, there's not that many dissenting voices. All that you're supposed to know is that this was a full-scale riot. This was an insurrection attempt. This was an attempted violent coup against the government of the United States or against Congress or whatever it would be. Led by the president, fueled by the president. A dangerous coup. We'll come to that, as I say, in just a moment. What happened yesterday in the halls of Congress. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." And no marvel. Don't be surprised by this. People that come as angels of light. People that give sanctimonious speeches that sound so righteous. We're just all for peace. We just want to bring bring both sides together. That's all that we've ever wanted. It says, "And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." That's the way that he wants to come across. That's the way that he wants you to see him. Just this perfect angel. This innocent angel, he hasn't done anything wrong. No marvel, it says. Satan's transformed into an angel of light. This is from an article my father wrote back in 2011. It says, Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light, but he is more than that. He's the god of this world. He is a genius at deception and fraud. Now, you add to this, this was written in 2011, you add to this the fact that he's confined to this earth, along with all of his demons. It was like I was covering yesterday in epistles class, Acts 8 and Simon of Samaria. He had bewitched all of the people. This was a region, Samaria, that was infested with demonic activity. It was infested with demons. And the point my father makes in America Under Attack is, where are all these demons today? If they were there in Samaria, if they were there influencing all of the people of Samaria in the first century, what about today? Where are they? Did they go away? Did they go on vacation? Are they no longer around? This is something no one talks about today, the spirit world. How do you explain all of this craziness and chaos? How do you explain the hysteria, the media hysteria? We had people on the networks yesterday saying they have never seen anything like this in their lives. We saw worse, much worse, just 6 months ago. How do you explain that? And no marvel, it says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14. A genius at deception and fraud. That's why people in the world think they are worshiping God when they are worshiping the devil. And then my father says, we have to trumpet to them the truth. And he goes on and talks about that example in the court case where the Worldwide Church of God had agreed to give up the writings of Herbert Armstrong. And then it came down to, after they finally agreed to terms on January the 16th, 2003, then they added later that, well, you're going to have to return all of that discovery that came out during the 6 years of litigation, because we don't want you to talk about what's in all of those documents. And our response was that there's no way we're giving that up. That's a deal breaker. We're ready to go right back to court and fight. And they finally did surrender. They gave up all of those writings of Herbert Armstrong. And then we had all of the discovery documents as well. And that, of course, went into the book Raising the Ruins, provided a lot of content for that book. Well, my father says that we, God's church, God's people, we have to expose the devil to this world. We have to expose him. We have to expose what he's doing. And of course, Satan hates that. Satan hates anyone and everyone that's exposing his evil behavior. He wants to be seen as an angel of light. He wants to be seen as a perfect, innocent angel. But he's not. This is in the Last Hour book. It says, there were people in John's day saying they loved God and they loved the church, while they were destroying the church. You heard a lot of that in the speeches in Congress yesterday, last night, I guess, deep into the night. After the riot, the insurrection, the coup attempt, the dangerous coup that people had never seen ever before in their lifetime, 4 hours later, everything was normal in Congress and they carried on with the proceedings. 4 hours of interruption. Did the buildings that were burning in Minneapolis and Portland and New York and even Washington, D.C. back in May of last summer, did those owners, were they able to return to a sense of normalcy in 4 hours' time? Some of them are still struggling to pick up the pieces. One protest. A few dangerous hooligans, a few buffoons, in fact. And you look at what the media, how they covered this yesterday. And you want to talk about who is responsible. Who's responsible for inciting violence? No wonder those Capitol Hill policemen had their guns drawn. If they have CNN in the background, they're hearing that they're coming for the Capitol. They're going to overtake the Capitol. CNN had a chyron at 11 a.m. before President Trump even spoke. I forget the exact wording, but right at the bottom third of the program, a desperate, dangerous coup attempt led by the president. That's the narrative that they had in their minds going in. It says a lot. It says a lot. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that there wasn't any trespassing or violence or vandalism. There certainly was, and arrest them. And the poor woman that was shot in the throat, she was trespassing. But what if, going back to last summer, what if one of the looters coming into Macy's gets shot in the throat by a security guard? What would have happened in response to that? That, if it happens in Macy's of New York last May or June, that event itself would have triggered more rioting and more looting. And then you would have had more law enforcement stepping aside, just like they did with that police precinct in Minneapolis. We're coming in. We're going to burn your building down. Did any of those looters and rioters get shot in the throat? Of course not, because they were told to stand down, the police. But yesterday, the police are told this is a violent insurrection. It's a violent insurrection, and it's coming for you. And these Capitol Hill policemen, there was probably not enough of them to hold back these protesters. And so here were these people carrying on, you know, waltzing through the Senate chamber, the House chamber. Some of these congressmen and women, their offices and such. For sure, arrest them all. Uphold law and order. But all of last year, the lectures, the nonstop sermons, the moralizing on TV over the fact that we cannot use excessive force. I watched a good bit of the afternoon news yesterday on CNN, which is suddenly and abruptly the Law and Order Network. Can you believe this? All of a sudden, there they are. We're a nation of laws. Okay, well, where was that speech 6 months ago? Vice President Biden comes out with his speech, immediately denouncing the violence. Where was he after Minneapolis? Where was he after Portland? Where was he after Kenosha? And on it goes. It says here, there were people in John's day saying they loved God and they loved the church while they were destroying the church. It's so easy to get seduced by words. That's what's happening. There's a lot of that in the United States today, being seduced by smooth-sounding words, even as we see our nation coming under siege. Where is the real siege? President Trump, in his speech at 12 noon yesterday, he talked about our nation, how that it's been under siege for years. And then just a few minutes later on TV, the commentators were talking about another siege. So what's the real siege? Where is the real danger? Well, like Richard Palmer brought out on his program, the last day of the last calendar year, you've got to see the spiritual dimension behind all of this chaos, behind all of this violence. You've got to see that there's a real spirit world. And the devil's fingerprints were all over the events of yesterday. That's obvious. And you know another point that we can make along with all of this? Everything that happened yesterday, God allowed it. As I say, you obviously see Satan's fingerprints on everything. And the coverage of it, the propaganda media, what they were out there inciting. Satan's behind all of it, but it's important for us to remember that God allowed it. I mean, God could have tweaked things here and there. God could have prevented this. He could have nudged this here or there. Vice President Pence could have been right on board with Donald Trump. He could have been ready to send this contested election back to the state legislatures. He could have done that. He could have announced that. As it was, As it was, you have this hour-long speech by the president. It overlaps just a little bit with the start of the congressional hearing. And right at the end of that speech, the vice president releases that statement saying that basically, I'm not going to do anything. You know, the president's on his own. And this, of course, infuriated the crowd. Hundreds of thousands of supporters out there. And many of them thought that's the end of it. That's the end of it. So here we are again. They get away with the election steal. This is just the thinking that's behind it. None of this justifies trespassing. None of this justifies vandalism or smashing in windows. But this is a movement, as I said yesterday. 75 million people voted for President Trump. And here they are today thinking that, well, everyone's, I guess, just given up. And I suppose we're, like we've been told, we're just supposed to move on and act like nothing happened. God allowed it. We may not know all of the reasons yet. But it'll be interesting to look back on this a few days from now, or maybe a few weeks from now, or maybe a year from now, and say, oh, now I see. I see it completely. Remember that verse in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God or instituted by God, as other translations bring out, or constituted by God. In other words, he allows it. It's not his world. It's not his world, but he is fulfilling his will. God's purpose shall stand. And so God intervenes where necessary to further his work, to further his purposes, to fulfill all of his will. And our part in all of this is to faithfully obey our God, to trust God, to not stagger at the promises of God, but to remain steadfast and firm in our belief. There's a wonderful scripture in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know it. We know it works together for good. We know that the one activity on this earth that is uppermost in God's mind is the work of God and the purpose of God as it's being fulfilled here below. Paul is emphasizing that in Romans 8, by the way, in the context of trials and sufferings. And saying that, look, don't be discouraged. Don't get negative, like my father said in that one quote that I gave to you. Don't worry. Everything's just going to work out fine. It's all unfolding according to his purpose and plan. When we come back, we'll go through some of the events of yesterday that had so many people just glued to their televisions all afternoon. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
So Trump supporters started to line up early in the morning yesterday, 7 a.m., even before that, I think it was. Hundreds of thousands of them, right between the White House and Capitol Hill. And, the CNN Chiron, this is at 11:04 a.m. Eastern. So he started speaking, I think, around noon. At 11:04 a.m. Eastern, CNN, at the lower third, their graphic said, Trump to speak to supporters in desperate coup attempt. In their minds, it was already in motion. The coup. The mere thought of a Trump-supporting crowd. That's in their minds. It's an army. This is the start of a dangerous insurrection. This is the start of a coup attempt, an attempt to overthrow the government, to lay siege on Capitol Hill. Well, then Trump comes out about an hour later. He gives a speech that goes on for, I think, about an hour. And here are, again, looking at it from the propaganda media's vantage point, here is the most provocative statements that he made in that speech. This is clip four.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. Our country has been under siege for a long time, far longer than this 4-year period.
So there he is saying that we're never going to take back the country with weakness. We have to show strength. We have to show strength. And then he talks about the country being under siege for a long time. And so the media then, after the events of yesterday afternoon, they refer back to this and they say, see there, see there, he started this. He needs to be removed from office. Mike Pence needs to trigger the 25th Amendment, or Congress needs to impeach him and convict him. He's dangerous. He's lost his mind. And then the protesters begin to move toward the Capitol, just as they receive news that Mike Pence is not going to do anything. He's not going to stand up for the truth. He's just going to be a bystander. He's just going to let it play out, let the congressmen and women and senators do their job. Later, the president tweeted this, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution. So the crowd moves up to Capitol Hill. There's probably 500 to 1,000 that are especially angry and physical, lots of shoving matches with police officers. One case where one window, and of course you're going to see it on an endless cycle now for the next several weeks, no doubt. One window being smashed. One window. Think about what we saw last summer. And that was totally justified. Burning down Wendy's, totally justified. Burning down a police precinct, totally justified. Taking over downtown Seattle, Nobody gets shot in the throat for that. Nobody. But this time around, you had some disturbing scenes of police officers just allowing the protesters to come in. And I know the left-wing media, they're up in arms over this, but they let it happen 2 years ago during the Kavanaugh hearings. You had people shouting down senators inside of Congress as they were getting on elevators and such. What about the scenes of pounding the doors of the Supreme Court as masses gathered to protest the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh? The same media that were telling us yesterday, this is a violent insurrection. They were the ones saying that Brett Kavanaugh is a gang rapist. And that all of those protests, as they called them over the summer, they were mostly peaceful, even as buildings were going up in flames behind them. So these protesters spill into Congress. And then it turns violent in the case of that, the tragic case of that woman who's shot in the neck at point blank range. All these Capitol Hill policemen having their guns drawn. Now you see it's okay to draw your weapons. And again, this woman shouldn't have trespassed. We talk a lot on this program about cause and effect. If it were my daughter, I would say, don't you dare go into that room. Don't you dare go into that building. Don't you dare just walk in through a broken glass and steal. Or pillage, or even rummage. Get them for the trespassing, for sure. So it turns more violent. The media, of course, by this point, are hysterical. And so then the president comes out with this statement later in the day. Here's clip one.
I know you're pain. I know you're hurt. We had an election that was stolen from us. It was a landslide election, and everyone knows it, especially the other side. But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have law and order. We have to respect our great people in law and order. We don't want anybody hurt. It's a very tough period of time. There's never been a time like this where such a thing happened, where they could take it away from all of us, from me, from you, from our country. This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. You've seen what happens. You see the way others are treated that are so bad and so evil. I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace.
Twitter flagged that for inciting violence. Twitter did. Twitter has since banned the President of the United States. Instagram as well. Facebook. The President of the United States can't even get out on social media, can't send a message, because he's evidently leading a violent insurrection against the levers of government in Washington, D.C. These are truly astounding times that we're living in, and it's important that we keep things in perspective, as I said earlier, and we'll conclude with more of that. You're not going to get perspective. You're not going to get honesty. You're going to get propaganda from CNN. You're going to get propaganda from the New York Times. You remember how the New York Times responded to Tom Cotton when he said last summer, bring in the troops? I mean, you would have thought he was guilty of treason. What do you mean, bring in the troops? We've got to restore order to our cities. You saw how the left reacted to that. No, we stand down. We step away. We let the violence play out. What were they saying? Well, where's that montage? This was from that clip or that montage that Grabian produced at the end of the year. This was one of their points about the Democrats, the Democrat leftist media, the Democrat media complex, and how they were responding to all of the rioting just 6 months ago. This is clip two.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis.
You know, Brooke, I think this is a march, really.
As they're coming off, it's peaceful. They're saying peaceful protest.
People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Thank goodness for the looters, man.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
It's just a few months ago. There was one D.C. resident yesterday who tweeted out, "This is my city, D.C., on fire last May." This was amid the riots in May and June of last year. He says, "I didn't receive a single text message on that night, but this afternoon, my inbox was flooded with concerned messages from friends and family. We supposedly don't believe the media anymore, yet it still manages to shape our perceptions. We still manage to view all of these events through the major media, through the mainstream media. Here's a guy, his city's burning in May. Nobody even contacts him because, well, the media would tell you in May that it's not really happening. It's peaceful." And then yesterday, Congress is shut down for 4 hours because of these protesters, these hooligans, these buffoons. A guy wearing a Viking hat, sitting down in the speaker's chair. Okay, arrest him. Put him in jail. Fine. But then the way the media cover this? Really? Where were the speeches? Where were the speeches 6 months ago? Norm MacDonald, and he better be careful. He's a comedian. He tweeted this, "I loved when the violent terrorists made sure to respect the velvet ropes in Statuary Hall." Here were these protesters spilling into Congress, the halls of Congress. No burning that I can see. A little bit of vandalism. The woman who was tragically shot in the throat by the police inside. Two broken windows, shoving police officers. And this is, according to Cory Booker, last night in the halls of Congress, this is the War of 1812? These are British troops trying to take over the nation's capital? That's the coverage. Last summer, you had Macy's, you had restaurants, you had all of Minneapolis, the downtown area, including the police precinct, going up in flames. 50 people murdered, including police officers, an 8-year-old girl, a teenager, I believe, in Iowa, shot in the back. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, they're behind all of it. And were they punished? No. The Black Lives Matter name was emblazoned on basketball courts all through the season. Well, they're to be lionized. They're to be worshipped almost. And what of the reports? The one in particular of the busload of Antifa coming in to sabotage the protest yesterday afternoon. Not going to hear a lot of coverage of that for sure. That'll be stamped out. That'll be blotted out. Satan hates being exposed. I won't play the footage, but there was that crowd as one individual was trying to break a window outside the Capitol, and he was basically tackled to the ground by one of the Trump supporters. And then everyone in that particular area cheered him on. The one who apprehended the vandal. You won't see that footage on TV. All that you need to know is that this was the storming of the Bastille. This was the beginning of the French Revolution. A French Revolution that suspended activities in Congress for 4 hours. Well, I don't want to minimize it too much because we know that civil war is coming. As these Trump supporters walk away from yesterday's events, do you think they're going to be comforted by the fact that when they turned on their TVs last night, they saw this kind of coverage after what they witnessed last summer? It's not going to get better. It's going to get much worse. Ezekiel 4, Ezekiel 5, we know where this is headed. We know that this is just the very tippy top of the iceberg. We know that an explosion is coming. We know that it's coming as both sides dig in their heels. All summer long, last year we were told, we were lectured, look, we've got to understand the rage. We've got to understand where these protests are coming from. We've kind of got to get into their thinking. Look, there's don't focus on the looting and the violence. Focus on the grievance. None of that now. None of that now. This is from the Washington Post, May 31st. The protests and the violence and the fires will stop once we rid this system. Once we're rid of this system that oppresses and maims and kills people like George Floyd, so let it burn. That's the Washington Post. Let it burn, said the Washington Post. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This was in December, just a little over a month ago. The whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort that with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. That's the point, she said. AOC said that's the point. These protests, this violence, this looting, this vandalism is supposed to make people uncomfortable because we want change. We want change. Vox. It says riots are destructive, dangerous, and scary, but can lead to serious social reforms. That's last summer. This is Vox yesterday. Every person who forced their way into the Capitol should be arrested. Well, I happen to agree with Vox there. They should be. Was anyone arrested that broke into Macy's? There were a few here and there, but you know who were trying to raise funds to bail them out? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. NPR, in defense of looting, that was last summer, in defense of looting, Kamala Harris, she tweeted out last summer, if you're able to, chip in now to the MN Freedom Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota. She wanted to bail out the thugs that burned down Minneapolis. That's just last summer. The Associated Press, September 30th. Focusing on rioting and property destruction rather than underlying grievance has been used in the past to stigmatize broad swaths of people protesting against lynching, police brutality, or for racial justice, going back to the urban uprisings of the 1960s. So don't focus on the rioting and the property destruction. Focus on the grievance. That's all. Focus on the grievance. Dinesh D'Souza tweeted out yesterday, it's somehow okay for the left to topple monuments, burn businesses, create autonomous zones, drag people out of restaurants and cars, and cause all kinds of violence and mayhem, yet it's an unprecedented assault on democracy when Trumpsters stage their own protest. You think the Trump supporters are going to go away from all of this and be like, okay, yeah, let's just move on. I think we accomplished what we wanted. They see the two Americas. There are two Americas today, and there's one Church of God. There's one Church of God that has been commissioned to expose the devil and all of his nefarious activities on earth. He is confined to this earth. He is filled with white-hot rage, and he hates being exposed. Listen to the prophet Daniel. This is from Daniel 12 and verse 1. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince which stands for the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone," it says, everyone that shall be found written in the book. God's people will be delivered. There's coming a point where it's going to be so bad that God's going to have to intervene to save, to protect his people. Now, you know the companion verses. Hosea 5 and verse 5. Israel and Judah all falling together. And Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Jesus said, "A time of great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of this world." That's what's coming. And when it does, we want to be found written in that book of remembrance, because we're going to need God's miraculous protection. We don't need guns and ammunition. We need God and his supernatural protection. We need God and his divine intervention. We need God and his awesome power. God's purpose stands. God will fulfill his will. Verse 2, it says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." You see, some of God's people, they're going to awaken to everlasting contempt and shame because they didn't do God's work, because they stopped supporting God's work, because they got discouraged, or maybe they became embittered. They were offended and embittered, and they left God. They walked away from God. Verse 3 talks about the purpose of this work, the aim of this work. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So here's a group of people, God's people, turning people away from Satan's deception. Now, it would be easy to say, well, but look at how many people have fallen away. Look at how many people have surrendered. We saw it in the church. 95% of the people, 99% of the ministry. And yet God just kept pounding away. God just kept preaching away through his servants, through his remnant. And he's doing the same today, even as we see entire nations just surrendering to the forces of evil. These are people who need God's message, God's truth, God's warning now more than ever. Of course, most aren't going to respond. The real fruits, as Mr. Armstrong said, the fruits of our labors, they're going to show more in the tribulation, a lot more in the tribulation than they will before. Mr. Armstrong said this, he wrote this back in 1985, no matter what the national or world conditions, God Almighty will keep his work going forward and growing and multiplying in power and scope. Remember this, no matter what happens, God's work, God Almighty will keep his work going forward. Mr. Armstrong said this, "Remember, you and I are servants of God. We are his instruments. He's using us in preparing for Christ's coming and his kingdom. The living Jesus Christ is the head of this work. He directs it. If we are willing to give ourselves to him, willing to sacrifice for him, he will see that we are prospered and financially able and spiritually able to keep up our part until his tremendous mission is accomplished." It is a tremendous mission that we have, and God will accomplish it. God will fulfill his will. God's purpose does stand for us as God's people. Our objective, our aim, is to remain steadfast and firm, to be courageous and bold, to be strong in faith, to be bold, to be enthusiastic and zealous in our support for God's work, in our support for Jesus Christ. We've talked about following in his steps earlier this week. What an example Christ has left for us, and what a privilege, what an honor it is for us to have our minds opened to the truth when most on earth today, their minds have been darkened by these deceptions of the devil. I gave you those quotes at the start of the program. Well, I am going to cut it just a little bit short. I've got the forum just across campus, so you'll allow for me, I hope, to take a couple of minutes to drive across the campus to the AC and IA forum here at the top of the hour. We thank you for joining us on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. You can email the show at td@kpcg.fm. We'll see you tomorrow.